Welcome to Powering Product Innovation, a podcast from Cognizant's Technology Business Unit, where we partner with industry experts to enable continued innovation in the technology industry.
Welcome to another edition of Powering Product Innovation from Cognizant's Technology Business Unit. I'm Deborah Eastman, and I'll be your host today. Today, we're going to talk to Salesforce. They've been a leading innovator in the tech industry, successfully adapting their products to support the unique needs of customers in different verticals and for different use cases. The industry cloud solutions support industries such as automotive, communications, financial services, and much more. The AppExchange is a marketplace that enables partners to extend the products to address unique needs such as commerce, marketing, campaign management, compensation management, and again, much more. Managing this complex product landscape can be a challenge. So to explore this area, I'm pleased to have LaShondra Anderson-Williams join me to share more about how Salesforce collaborates with customers, partners, subject matter experts to bring these solutions to market. LaShondra is the Chief Customer and Commercial Officer of Salesforce Industries. She leads the commercialization of these products and focuses on driving customer success that impacts their opportunities and challenges. In addition, in 2024, she was honored as one of the most influential executives in corporate America by Savoy Network. Welcome, LaShondra. I'm glad to have you. Tell us a little bit more about your background and your current role at Salesforce.
Thanks so much, Deb. It's a pleasure to be here and looking forward to this conversation. A little bit about me. I've had quite the interesting, I think, career experience. As you mentioned today, I am the Chief Customer Commercial Officer at Salesforce for our Salesforce industry products. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that. But that role really entails having me look after all 15 of our industries. And we'll talk more about that. And I joined Salesforce about 3.5, almost 4 years ago. And prior to this role, I was the Chief Revenue and Chief Strategy Officer for Healthcare and Life Sciences, which is where I entered into the company. And prior to that, I spent 15 years at a company on the West Coast, a small company you may have heard of, Microsoft. And then prior to that, I spent 10 years at another company in the East you may have heard about, IBM. So I started my career in tech and have continued as such and have been really, really honored to work for some incredible organizations, leaders, and more importantly, seen technology shift over the last 27 years or almost 28 years I've been in this industry. And it's exciting and it looks like it's going to even be more of an interesting ride as we jump into this conversation, I think, later today, talking about AI and agents.
Terrific. Well, I know disruption is at the core of everything you've done. And so clearly Salesforce has been a disruptor in the software industry, initially creating the whole SaaS model. But the platform's evolved over time, and now you provide industry-specific solutions. So rather than just the horizontal solution, and then you also extend the product or enable your partners to extend the product through AppExchange to support very unique use cases. So how should we think about Salesforce as a platform versus these various different adaptations?
Great question. And I'd say I think it evolves in terms of how we think about the platform or these sort of adaptations or additives. And what I would say, it's actually both. A industry cloud at Salesforce really is a specialized version of the Salesforce core software products, such as our sales or service cloud that I know everyone is very familiar with. But it's built to be designed to give outcomes and workflows that are specific to a given industry. And I'll give an example. I mentioned 15 industries and you mentioned a couple of them. We design and develop products for industry, massive industries like financial services, healthcare, and life sciences, communications, manufacturing. But we also design products for what we call impact industries. So think public sector, nonprofit, education, and net zero, which is our sustainability product. And in each of these cases, we're taking our amazing products that Salesforce has designed for sales and service and our customer C360 and transforming it into an industry-specific solution, or we like to call it an industry C360, that helps our customers serve their customers in a unique way. And if you think about these specific capabilities, it really is about bringing the industry-specific data model, specific features, work functions, and more importantly, deep industry business processes. So it is the platform that we know and love at Salesforce, but it's, I'd say, a configuration, if you will, on how do we actually bring the specific industry design footprint, but also the data models that are required for how these organizations and industries actually go to market themselves.
Yeah, that's really interesting and obviously serves a need with the clients, because a sales model in a pharmaceutical is going to be very different than a sales model in automotive. So that really helps your customers to serve their specific needs.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about AppExchange, which is an interesting marketplace that allows your partners to develop products. So tell us a little bit more about how you ensure these solutions actually meet the Salesforce standards.
Absolutely. I think one, I'll just call out, our partners are absolutely incredible. So I want to give a shout out to all of the organizations that have partnered with Salesforce over the journey. We have over 600 AppExchange partners for industries. And how we think about that ecosystem is in a couple of ways. One, we have a very rigorous process on how we recruit these organizations. We talked earlier about the industries. So we actually have partners that we recruit for specific industries. And then we have to think about how do we actually onboard them into understanding the full portfolio that Salesforce has to offer. And that then works into how do we actually then go to market with them. So we have teams that support these partners. And our goal is to really not only enable, inspire, but also support them. And how we actually make them a part of the organization. I like to call our partners our invisible army, that they go places we won't or can't go based on maybe regulatory requirements. When we think about these organizations, we work closely with them to ensure that they, one, understand the roadmap, they understand the vision and the strategy we have. And when we think about designing our products, we bring them into the conversation, bring them into the process. So we're ensuring along the way that there is a complete set of transparency, quite frankly, and clarity on where we're going, and make sure that we're supporting them not only on the vision, but also on the capabilities and the platform they need. And a lot of these organizations that partner with us in this space have their own Salesforce practice specifically. And so they spend a lot of time getting the right accreditations, the right certifications, and they're all in and making sure that they not only can tell the story, but they can also build it, but also implement it and being a creative value to our mutual customers. So it's a process that we've had over many, many years. It's worked exceptionally well, and we continue to get partners ask us to want to do more industries. And as I mentioned, we're at 15, but I think the program has been so successful. And our customers also appreciate it because it speaks to our ability to really bring in the best of the best when we're designing an industry cloud and all the additional adaptations of the capabilities we're not going to design or build. These ISVs in our AppExchange community, they are very eager, very committed, and very good at building the right type of capabilities for the industries we're serving.
I love that term, an invisible army. What a great way to really make sure you have a broad suite of solutions to serve all the different needs that customers have. I think that's really brilliant. When it comes to the industries, how do you prioritize which ones to take on?
That's a great question. And maybe I might start with how we even got here, because I mentioned 15 and it's been quite a journey to get to where we started. And prioritization, I say, varies based on the market conditions, the geography that we're serving in. But maybe if you give me a few, I'll maybe just give a little bit of context so that everyone understands where we've been on this journey. We started our industry journey back in 2013, working with partners to build industry-specific solutions. We were investing in go-to-market resources, but we weren't actually making any real product investments yet specific to industry. And so we announced our first true industry cloud product, which was Financial Services Cloud in 2015, and shortly thereafter, Health Cloud. And both of those were based on a number of factors. One was just the market that we saw an incredible opportunity for us to build technology that was really close in proximity to how work gets done. And then two, we also saw high demand from our customers. So our industry journey has been sort of a co-partnership or co-innovation with our customers. And they actually, a number of customers in both of these industries came to us and said, could you, would you build capabilities for our industry based on the platform we talked about with sales and service? And so that was sort of the start. And in 2016, we began to officially bring both of these products to market and have been incredibly successful with them, with financial services being our number one industry cloud, and number two is health cloud right behind that. And then in 2019, we increased our investment and moved to manufacturing, consumer goods, public sector. In 2020, we brought our Salesforce.org clouds, which was nonprofit, education, and net zero into the fold. And then in 2022, I believe we added automotive cloud. And then last year, we added life sciences cloud. And then about 45 days ago, or almost 60 days ago, we made an acquisition with Predix Spraying, which we announced an acquisition of them into the Salesforce family, adding our 15th industry cloud. So your question on prioritization, I think it's really based on a number of things. It's customers, it's the marketplace, but it's also, we're going to, I think, talk about how do we sort of bring all of this together into Salesforce, because that's a lot of different industries to support with one company and one engineering team. So the prioritization has been, I think, driven by market opportunity, customer input. And I obviously can't forget about the conversation we just had, which is our partners are really driven. A lot of focus on helping us understand how do we partner also with them to bring some of these capabilities in a space where we may not have the right expertise day one, but we've been able to build a framework around that to actually accelerate value for our customers.
Great. Well, it sounds like prioritization is customer driven, which is very aligned with the Salesforce values. But when you think about the industry expertise, Salesforce is really an expert in sales and service and marketing and these various horizontal domains. Is it the customer and the partners that bring in the vertical expertise, or do you build that capabilities internally?
It's a combination. I mentioned I was the chief revenue and chief strategy officer for healthcare and life sciences before this role. An example of that, we had a chief medical officer and chief health officer actually who came from industry into the company. And so what you'll find is we've got a team here at Salesforce, a center of excellence around our industry business, industries that we support. And we call those roles industry advisors. And more likely than not, those individuals have come into the tech world from an industry that they were supportive. So in healthcare, chief medical, chief health officer, we actually have practicing physicians in the company. And they play a really important role, obviously, not only to help us think about relationships and what's happening in the industry, but also in the design of the product. We have people who have come directly from organizations like Volkswagen or Mercedes working in an industry advisor role, helping advise us and help us really think about what needs to go into AutoCloud as an example. And so while our customers play, I think, an important position in helping make sure that validate or invalidate our thinking on roadmap, capabilities, and strategy, we also have invested deeply in these industries by bringing experts from the industry into the tech space. And so they get to learn about how the tech actually works and being able to shape that for a given industry. And we get the best of both worlds because they are a great Salesforce employee and colleague, but they also give us the perspective of how it actually works in a true customer environment. And then additive, our partners who also have, I mentioned, they have a Salesforce practice, but a lot of these organizations outside of the ISV community, like an SI, like an Accenture, Deloitte, or Cognizant, as an example, you have industry experts in your organization. So I think that sort of trifecta of these core capabilities and competencies have played a critical role in shaping our thinking, shaping our product design, and then ultimately shaping how we actually go to market. And so it's been a fantastic journey in my time in the last almost 4 years. And now that I'm in the industry side for all of our industries, it's really impressive to know the type of expertise we have right here in the company.
Well, it sounds like a three-legged stool between the experts that you brought on at Salesforce, your partners, and your customers. You really do get that full view of what the requirements and needs are of that industry. And having your own experts becomes almost a translator in helping to talk the language of the customer, but also understand how the technology works.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, those experts are not shy. And so you said a word that's really, really important, which is translating, because we are a tech company. Make no mistake about that. We are now an agent force company, but core, we build a lot of great, incredible tech, and we have over the last 25 years. And sometimes as you go into these industries, you're talking to different stakeholders, business decision makers, or technology decision makers. It's really important to speak the customer language. And so having that knowledge inside the company to translate how this tech actually works for the business problem we're solving or the jobs to be done has been incredibly successful and helpful to us to continue to build a lot of trust and confidence with our customers.
Great. Well, you know, it's interesting with 15 industry clouds, right? That's the right number?
Yes, the right number.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got to manage the continuous evolution of the core product and all of these various industry clouds. So what's common across them and how do you manage that continuous upgrade cycle?
Yes, we get a lot of questions on how are we building 15 different industry clouds all at the same time and trying to be number one in every one of these verticals. I'd say part of Salesforce Industry's secret sauce, I'll tell you one since it was just the two of us talking, is that it's a shared set of components and a unified framework. And so we call those our common components, our common services layer, which allows features to be developed for one industry that can be easily repurposed for another. And so with this framework, applications around things like loyalty and lending exist, and all of Salesforce industry clouds are able to borrow from and access these resources. So we're building sort of a model for scale. And with the integration of these components, the Salesforce platform, along with data and our AI and our industry teams, can focus on creating more industry-specific applications that solve so many customer issues across the different industries. And our current structure allows that our industry cloud teams devote more time to create these industry-specific innovations, which are annually updated across our 3-release schedule that I know a lot of our customers really love and appreciate. And this allows us to deepen and expand our capabilities so that our customers find the most relevant and valuable resources to their business. So the common layer is the thing that you think about. I said loyalty, but you also think about things like scheduling. So let's say you're scheduling a part to be picked up if you're an automotive manufacturer to be sent to a certain plant or to a certain dealer, maybe if you're working in a dealer management environment. But scheduling also, if you're a healthcare company, as an example, where you're scheduling patient appointments. So we try to find those common places where it exists in multiple places, whether it's in a financial services industry or a common layer in a healthcare or educational system. And so we look for those common components that each teams can sort of, you can think of them as sort of borrowing or sharing. So it's sort of a cross design approach so that these technologies can be quickly adapted to the type of workflow, but the core of the capability is what can be reused very quickly, which allows us to focus on the things that are unique about the industry. Think things like regulatory are not necessarily going to be shared, but things like scheduling or loyalty may be one, or you know, dispute resolution capabilities where you've got telecommunication companies or banking companies, you have a dispute. So dispute is whether you're disputing your telephone bill with Verizon or you're disputing a bank charge if you're talking to Chase. That capability is common in terms of how you design it, but the adaptability is very specific to maybe an adjustment to a workflow. So that's how we're able to sort of leverage across the 15 industries, but then be very specifically focused on the types of outcomes and in some cases, regulatory requirements that are required for certain industries.
Wow, it's really interesting. I would love to drill down further, but I'm not going to take us down a rat hole. But what I was thinking about when you were saying all that is Lego blocks, that you've got kind of these Lego blocks that either can be reused or be unique on top of the core foundation.
You nailed it, Deb. It really is about helping our customers and ourselves, quite frankly, reduce the custom development efforts for each individual industry. So it brings down cost, it brings down time to deploy, and it helps lower ongoing maintenance costs so that we can focus on new developments that are really, really incremental value to customers for their specific industry. So it's a great win. And there's not, you know, 15 or 50 targets we have and where these common layers fit, but we look across and say, where are the things that we can use more commonly across industries that we can give us that agility and nimbleness we need for our customers, which for them is about building the best products we can to help them serve their customers.
Yeah. And you said something I know is really important to the customers that we serve around the Salesforce ecosystem is minimizing those customizations on the customer's implementation, because obviously that has a lot of challenges for them in creating tech debt or continuing to evolve and manage those customizations. So really great way to help save them from the requirements to do that. So when you think about, like, you're always innovating, Salesforce is always innovating, the latest innovation, obviously, Agentforce. Is there a lag time when you come out with a new capability before it shows up in the industry clouds?
Absolutely not. In fact, our customers, especially in industry, so they look at us similar to the rest of the Salesforce platform, because many of them have the rest of the capability that Salesforce owns. And they are used to and they expect that 3 times a year release schedule. So there is no lag time. We're building in advance. And they're also expecting the same type of innovations that come in between those releases. And so we like to say that our customers actually have the Salesforce industry advantage, Salesforce advantage, but we like to say the Salesforce industry advantage, which means they get faster time of value because we are on this 3-release schedule. And so they get access to all of our data models. They get access to our workflows, pre-built applications, out-of-the-box integrations, and the extensive partner network and ecosystem we talked about. And so when we think about this sort of innovation we're bringing, our customers really look for us to bring the innovation to them as quickly as possible. And a lot of them are on the journey with us. So a lot of our top customers are shaping a bit of what's coming, but they're also shaping, making sure that we're bringing these capabilities at the right time. And one of the things I know this year was the Olympics, and I had a chance to attend, which was a great experience. But the feedback we got back was, and we created the story internally, was we think about using our industry products with innovation, using our customers to competing in the 100 meter dash with their competitors. And the way we think about it is at the beginning of the race, Salesforce Industries allows them to start at the 90 meter mark because they're bringing all this innovation so fast so that technically when the race starts, you're already 90 meters ahead. It's a quick win. And that's the goal of bringing the innovation at the same pace as the rest of the Salesforce ecosystem and our other products and capabilities. So there's no lag. If anything, our customers are telling us, keep the pace. We actually want to go faster. And now with Agentforce, there's more that they want us to bring to market. But we're delivering at the same pace, but it's done in a thoughtful way in partnership with our customers and thoughtful for building, more importantly, great products. So we're not releasing for the sake of releasing. It's capabilities that have been vetted. It's capabilities that we've done a lot of surveys. We do a lot of research and insights internally to Salesforce, externally to Salesforce. We look at our competitive landscape. And so when we're bringing these capabilities to the marketplace at that pace, we want to make sure that when we bring it, it's the right time with the right value to our customers in the right industry.
Terrific. Well, you mentioned some of the innovations that Salesforce has brought to market recently, Data Cloud, Agentforce, Einstein, a number of others. How do they fit within this whole industry cloud architecture?
So there are significant synergies between our industry-specific solutions and the other Salesforce offerings like Data Cloud, and I'll give Tableau as an example. They're actually embedded with our solutions to enhance functionality and the entire user experience. And so what that means for us is thinking about AI, we get the right data using Data Cloud, and we get the right data in helping our customers understand how to harmonize it. And our industry clouds are actually built on the Einstein 1 platform, which is fueled by Data Cloud and grounded in our industry-specific data models, which helps a customer be informed about their own data and metadata, things like patient records, donor databases, telematics systems, to make sure that they're getting the right relevant and contextual results and insight. Data Cloud provides our industry-specific data to help enrich things like AI models with solutions, ensuring that they are not only powerful, but they're relevant to the specific industry. Things like Tableau, which is a part of our Einstein 1 platform, and Tableau is our AI-powered insights tool that's infused across all of our CRM products. But Tableau helps accelerate the data-driven decision-making, which creates outcomes that are more personalized, more contextualized, right in the flow of work. And so the partnership that we have across the entire Salesforce ecosystem internally of our product, we call it the Apps and Industries products, they're deeply integrated, deeply committed to building connected experiences, but more importantly, they are designed so that when we bring the customer an industry solution, it's a solution that's specific to their industry, but it's also a solution they're used to working through. And so with the data model that we have for our industry products and the experience we have with the rest of the Salesforce platform is an incredible value proposition for our customers. So we work hand in hand with all of those teams across the company.
So if I'm a communications cloud customer, I still get the opportunity to take advantage of all these other innovations, such as Data Cloud and Einstein. And now let's talk about one of the more interesting ones, Agentforce. Dreamforce was all about Agentforce. And as you said, we're now an Agentforce company. So tell us more about Agentforce and how that is the next disruptor in the industry.
Yeah, it is an exciting time. And we pivoted. I mean, I think AI came on and we were all talking LLMs. I'll even say maybe 24 months ago, we were talking NFTs and Web 3.0, and that shifted. And now we went to agents. And I think there's been this, I call it a bit of a wave, and I definitely want to make sure we spend time talking about what we're seeing. But just to maybe put some grounding on, when we say we're an Agentforce company, what does that mean? For us, Agentforce is where humans work with agents to drive customer success together. That's the pitch. It's very simple. Our goal and our vision since 1999 has always been to help our customers connect more deeply with their customers. We've done this by building our own C360, but with Agentforce, we want humans and agents to do that together. So I also want to sort of ground on, it isn't about yet another standalone AI. So it's not like this other LLM or something you have to go buy. This is about adding incredibly new functionality right in a trusted and secure platform, Salesforce, that everybody knows. And it helps our customers really build autonomous agents for front office, things like sales and service and marketing and commerce, in dealing with their customers from the immediate experience when they're touching maybe a digital experience if you're a retailer. And I want to also say, as we've gone through this journey of AI and We started off with chatbots and then we went to copilots. Copilots were really great, but in Agentforce, in this new agentic world, it doesn't require a conversational prompt to take action. And so when we think about Agentforce, it's really around having these agents anticipate, plan, collaborate, reason, and making decisions with minimal human intervention. And it's done in a way that's secure, that's accurate, that's scalable. And we know our customers, they want to go fast, so it's done with speed. And so when you think about Agentforce, you think of it in this way. You can have health agents, you can have banking agents, product agents, finance agents, even HR agents. And this is all built onto the Salesforce platform. So it's not this other thing, if you will, from an industry that you have to go buy from Salesforce. It's built directly on the Salesforce platform. And Mark said this in the keynote at Dreamforce, no need to DIY your AI. We want to make sure that our customers are leveraging their incredible investment with Salesforce. And it's all done in one single and secure, reliable platform, which is Salesforce. And so we're really excited about Agentforce. And we're seeing so many examples of customers that are asking us to do more. We've got a couple of different events across the world that we're running. We used to call them world tours, where we would go out and spend a day in a city and talk about different industries and different use cases. Now they're Agentforce tours and they're happening around the world. I was just in Mexico City last week. We have New York City, which is coming up in 2 days from now. So if anyone's in New York, in Milan and Australia. But all that to say is we are going all in as a company because we see the opportunity, but we more importantly, we have the technology and our customers are going along this journey with us and we're excited about it.
Great. Where can people learn about the schedule on the world tour? Is it on the website, I assume, on the Salesforce website?
Yep, that's right. It's right there. And if you can't go in person, we also have different webinars that will continue to be populated on our website. But we encourage everyone to really come in. And if you're there, the part that I love about our world tours in person is we all, in the last several events we've had, and we had this at Dreamforce, we actually have hands-on labs where you can build your own agent. And it takes minutes, not days, not weeks. And so it's really exciting to show our customers how they can actually not just hear about Agentforce and see a great demo, they can actually spend time hands-on building their own agent in minutes and be able to walk away and take this back to their team. So it's an exciting time, but it's a real time for us to bring innovation to our customers right now.
Yeah, it's super cool when you talk about it and you think about the mundane tasks that it can operate for you. So it's really going to make employees more productive. And in a world where every company is trying to figure out how to be more efficient, scale the business, just a great opportunity to support those client needs, delivering a better customer and employee experience. So I'm excited to have that deployed in my own environment.
We cannot wait to help show you. And I think, Deb, you're mentioning sort of a point that I maybe just want to pull on a bit, using agents for productivity and efficiency. There's no question a lot of organizations are struck with capacity limits on headcount, on people, on hiring. And so when you have a captive sort of challenge where you're trying to figure out how do you scale, how do you move with speed, and you have constraints like a workforce, we ask ourselves, and you'll hear this at World Tour, like, what would need to be true? How could we sort of unlock some of the capacity needs? All the while we know our customers are telling us in every industry, no one wants to be put on hold. Everyone, all of us, including myself, we want more personalized care. We want to feel like we're your only customer. And when we call in or we have an issue, we want our issue resolved the first time. And so you don't want to be waiting. You want more personalized help. And then you want to talk to an expert. So we thought about, well, how could agents, how do we find those mundane, those things that you can easily deploy an agent to create productivity, take some of that sort of repetitive, low value burnout things that your employees may be facing. How do we actually use agents in a way that helps address employee experience and customer experience at the same time? And Agentforce has so many great examples and some customer stories already that are using this today. So it is an exciting time, but it's also a time where companies are trying to find opportunities to scale. And so we encourage you to definitely come to a world tour if you can't. We've got some other webinars we have that are scheduled and participate and learn more, but get your hands involved and go to Trailhead where you can actually learn how to build your own agent as well.
Great. Well, it sounds awesome. Sounds like a utopian world in the future. And a lot of people are talking about AI and all of these innovations, but is it real? Are people actually deploying this? Do you have customers that are using the technology today?
Absolutely. You know, I want to talk about AI and agents because the AI journey has been going on for quite some time. And in Salesforce, we started our AI journey back in 2014, and we started an enterprise AI with Einstein. And that was built in years and years ago. And today, over this journey since 2014, today we do about 2 trillion predictions every week just on AI, enterprise AI today. I'd call that maybe wave one. We moved into wave two, which was really around co-pilots. And we brought customers into that wave. We've got great customers like Wyndham who are using our co-pilot technology today. And they're seeing about 55% more customer service cases with AI-assisted service. And then now what I think we're defining is, which is wave three, which is this sort of autonomous space where agents are working not just for us, but with us. And so we talk about, well, how are we actually doing some of this? We've got a great story at our world tour that we've talked about with companies like Saks and Wiley and Bombardier and OpenTable. We're actually using the technology today, and they're using it to really bring not only innovation, but helping bring additional customer value to their customers and finding those sort of use cases, if you will. And Saks has a great example where they're calling it the phygital, where it's the physical experience and the digital experience, merging those two things together so that as you go to one of their web properties or digital properties on your personalized profile on your mobile phone, how do you have that same experience or better when you go into a store and do the same type of request? And so I think there are a number of examples across different industries that we're working with, but Saks is a great example of that. And then we've got some other really interesting things that we're seeing pop up in use cases around life sciences cloud. And so we've got great brands, great names, and we've got customers who have gone first. And I think there's going to be more announced in the next couple of months. So stay tuned on that. But it's a real piece of technology, but it's real because customers are using it with their customers and delighting them in so many new ways. And they're improving customer experience, but also improving employee experience at the same time.
I'd love to see some of that when I use my OpenTable app next time.
Yes.
That sounds great. Well, clearly AI is changing the world. And if you think back to the origination of Salesforce, and you know, I always think of the no software logo that was very famous back then. Cloud and SaaS was clearly at the forefront of all of this innovation that we've seen over the last several years. How do you see AI changing the software industry?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to change everything. And we mentioned a little bit of data cloud earlier in the partnership and synergies that our industry clouds has across the company. And I just want to give a stat that I've learned recently, and it's really fascinating. Today, we are generating 2.5 quintillion bytes of data every day.
Quintillion? I've never even heard that word.
I know. That's a new word. So quintillion is 2.5 with 18 zeros behind it. And that's being generated every day. It's being generated because we're creating more data. We're searching more data. And this is data as in terms of content, it's video, it is pictures, it's text, it's everything. And so I think the world is going to continue to change and the industry is going to change with the world because we're moving at a pace that we've not seen before ever. And I think data is going to be at the core of it and how you are able to harmonize and organize your data in a way, because you got data. So we think about our customers and in the industry, you've got data everywhere. If anything, I mentioned we have 2.5 quintillion we're generating every day. We don't need any more data technically, but we're not going to stop. So how do you then use the data to your advantage? How do you use the data in a way that helps give you beyond just insights, but then can action it? And so I think generative AI, especially agents, are going to play a major role in helping organizations sort of peruse the data sources. So whether you're using a data lake like Databricks or Snowflake or others, our technology at Salesforce and Agentforce enables you to use access and use that data and the way that it was meant to be, which is to help your service reps, to help your sales reps, to help your employee HR teams, being able to use data in a way that helps bring better outcomes to whoever's using it based on their role and responsibility. And so I think we're going to continue to see data play a big role, and those who can harmonize and then be able to contextualize, which is why we're excited about Agentforce, and automate some of those sort of, I mentioned, repetitive, low-value things, it will be the start. And then it will be, how do we then maximize these moments where the agents can actually do work in a capacity where you may have a creative value back to maybe a new market that you're exploring without having to deploy a human or having to deploy a workforce at a given time. You have agents being able to support you in that manner. So I think the future is about agent force. You won't just need a sales force. You won't just need a marketing force. You'll need an agent force to sort of deploy these types of capabilities in the flow of work in a trusted way, in a scalable way, all while we're continuing to develop more data, but being able to use it in a way that you will bring value back to your customers, value back to your employees, and also bring value back to the creation of maybe new insights that we technically today, I think, are missing out on. We like to say there's trapped data there's trapped data everywhere around our organizations. And I think Agentforce is going to help us unlock that trapped data to create more value back to organizations in every industry.
Yeah. So in the software industry, right, you mentioned things like Databricks or Snowflakes. Customers are going to have other applications like Workday. Is this Agentforce interoperating within the ecosystem of all the applications that sit within an organization?
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is in our trust layer and our zero copy, which allows technology, which allows customers to be able to integrate into, and we're a great example of using Workday and Agentforce at Salesforce. So allow you to tap into those applications that you may use that are outside of your sales service or marketing, but they're core applications to your business. And doing it in a way so you don't necessarily have to copy or move it, but you're actually able to make it accessible and put it into an Agentforce sort of workflow, an Agentforce agent, and be able to use it to do the work that needs to get done without human intervention every step of the way. So I think the future for us that we see it is, an Agentforce world where you can use these agents in the way you want them to, all while being able to be autonomous, contextual, secure, and safe, and helping you think about how do you leverage the data state you have that's not just in sales and service, but could be in HR, could be in engineering. And we think about how do you actually design products in a new way with Agentforce? So it's not just us building great products to build agents, but how do you then bring some of the technology into how you actually now design the right set of products and capabilities? So I think it is a game changer. And we've talked to so many customers who are asking us how to push the limits because they're trying to figure out how do they scale? How do they accelerate? How do they balance? And Agentforce, I think, will give them some additional capabilities that today I mentioned, like we're challenging sometimes based on headcount or constraints. We're challenged by potentially regulatory requirements. We're challenged by geography. Agentforce, I think, is going to help us really remove some of those challenges and really move to where the flow of work needs to happen and being able to help customers get to their customers to deliver customer success more deeply.
Great. Well, it's an exciting time for sure, and definitely the next transformation in the software industry. This has been great. You have so much to offer the audience, so thank you for your time today. But as we wrap things up, what recommendations do you have for software companies as they try to replicate Salesforce success in both Industry Cloud and AppExchange?
I think it sits between two axes. I think it's expertise and scale, if you will. And I think you have to really have a framework that enables your solution, whether it's a platform or an app, enable it, the current workflows that you need to be, quite frankly, credible in an industry as an example, whether it's financial services or nonprofit or public sector. But then you also need the flexibility in this framework to reimagine and adapt to what's around the corner. And that's where Salesforce, we've spent a lot of time, not only just delivering what's expected today, but how do we look around the corner? And partnerships like yours with Cognizant and others and our ISVs help us do that. And so your tech strategy is a critical component of this. And you need to also think about, as you build the right tech, how do you build those things? I mentioned sort of those form of reusable components or common layers. You need to make sure you've got that sort of foundation of where you're going to play that could be common. And then more importantly, you have to have an ecosystem, right? We talked about our invisible army. You need to have an ecosystem that can sub out capabilities that you are not going to design. And lastly, I'd say if you're not thinking about it, it's kind of late, so you got to get to it. But you have to think about the role of AI and agents and how that will not only affect your output, but your design and your development. And I think the future really will be this sort of collaborative way between the AI and agents working with companies to really build out the right set of capabilities. The industry expertise we talked has to be sort of built in the core. That's non-negotiable, especially if you're selling in a public sector space or financial services. And then if you've got impact industries like we have with Net Zero Cloud or Education Cloud or a nonprofit, you need that expertise sitting in the company and really understanding how to translate that. So those would be some of the recommendations, but it's about speed, more importantly, and you have to also make sure that you are driving outcomes that matter to people, I'll say, to companies. And that's what I think Salesforce has always done. We call it our customer C360 Dep. It's for a reason. We put the customer in the center. And if you do things around the customer and making sure that you understand those different experiences, if you focus on that, you win. And you focus on the industry with that, you win. And our customers have been very, very grateful for our partnership. And in return, we continue to design and develop great product because of that trusted partnership.
Great. Well, that customer 360 sure has paid off for Salesforce, as you've seen great growth and success over the years. So great advice. And as you said, one of the words you said, I think, is so important, speed. That's always been important, but never more important now as everybody's racing to really win in this new evolution of the AI game.
That's right. That's right.
Terrific. Well, thank you so much for your time today. It was a pleasure to have the opportunity to learn from you. And with that, I think we will adjourn for today. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
A big thank you to our guest, Lashandra from Salesforce. This is clearly a disruptive time in the tech industry, and she provided some excellent advice on how to take advantage of this innovation. And thank you to all of you for joining us in this edition of Powering Product Innovation. If you've enjoyed the show, please be sure to rate us, leave us a review, and hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. I'm Deborah Eastman, and thanks for listening.
This podcast was produced by Amaze Media Labs.